T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Adam McKelvey brought to you by the Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. The two voices you're about to hear briefly are going to be Craig Counsell and Billy McKinney. Craig Counsell and Billy McKinney.
We haven't seen a lot of baseball yet from none of these players, any of these players. We haven't seen a lot of baseball. So never would we make wide sweeping generalizations about this sample size. It's really dangerous to do so.
It's definitely different on the lines of, you know, these stats don't really count, but they do, I guess, in my circumstance, just trying to have good at-bats, hit the ball hard.
So as Adam McKelvey will attest to, Brewers.com, MLB.com, these games, I mean, they've really only played about 4 or 5 games total with their at-bats. So how do you, Keston's struggling. Oh, this guy's doing this. How can you really tell? Yet, as Billy McKinney said, I mean, if Billy McKinney's not hitting home runs and showing off his power, we're not talking about Billy McKinney right now. So these stats don't matter, Adam, but they do. And I think that's been tough for us to kind of wrap our head around again.
Yeah, it's tough every year. It's, I guess the way I would put it, it's maybe they matter a little bit more for some guys than others, but mostly they don't matter at all, and please don't look at them.
Yeah, like if Yelich bats 150, who cares?
Yeah, you know, but they matter when I want to tweet about Garrett Mitchell getting a bunch of hits. So I realize that I do it too. I selectively pick which ones I want to pay attention to, and then which ones I say don't care about. Here's what I would say though about it. I think what like David Stearns and Craig Counsell and Andy Haynes and Chris Hook on the pitching side, what they're more interested in are not necessarily like how many home runs Billy McKinney has, but how many times he's just gone up there and had good at bats and hit the ball hard. And that's to me why I'm shifting again to Garrett Mitchell. That's why Mitchell, what he's done matters, because these aren't like cheapy hits. These are like legit, you know, he's just kind of crushing the ball every time he goes up there. Even his outs make you notice. And, Billy McKinney's been kind of the same. I'd put Pablo Reyes in that camp, too. He's a guy who's in going for a utility job as well. He's not on the 40-man roster, which hurts his chances at this point. But he had a fantastic spring and, like, opened a lot of eyes with just these super proficient at-bats from day one. And, you know, played all over and played well. So his numbers are, well, I haven't looked lately, but his numbers were good. And I think it mattered only because just the eye test of the at-bats matched what the numbers said. So I think Billy McKinney put it really in an interesting way. They don't matter, but for some guys, they sort of do.
All right, I wasn't planning to ask you this, but let me get way ahead of you since you brought up Garrett Mitchell. What are the chances we see him in 2021 at the big league level? Because he hasn't played yet. Last year he played in the alternate site, and I know a lot of people are getting excited for what he's doing in the spring, but guy hasn't even played yet.
Yeah, it's great to get excited for players, and you should get excited when you see a guy like Garrett Mitchell perform, and then when you hear him talk about, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder, man, because he was a top of the first round talent who got drafted in the bottom half of the first round because teams were worried about his type 1 diabetes and what that can mean long term. That is, you know, a challenge for an everyday player to manage. And he's been doing it since he was a teenager or before. So he's got a chip on his shoulder, I think, about falling in the draft and really wants to prove those 20 other teams wrong for letting him slide to Milwaukee. So that's the stuff to be excited about. But, I mean, I said this yesterday, even Robin Yount played 64 games in the minor leagues. So let's let him actually play a real game. He played 4 games in the instructional league last year. That's the extent of his pro experience before he rolled out of bed and started getting hits in the Cactus League. So I think he's got to play. He's definitely going to go through periods where he stinks because everybody does. And, you know, how does he deal with those periods is going to determine whether...
I'm in one right now.
Well, there you go. I mean, I've been in one since, you know, about 2009, but I just kind of keep plugging away and try to be a utility guy. But I think he has the talent, obviously, to be much more than a utility guy. And he's hitting lefties. So, again, it's like, yeah, 10 for 20 is great, but 7 of the hits are against lefties, and it's like some really good lefties. So he's very promising. I don't think we'll see him this year. If you want to get excited about a prospect that we could see this year, I'd probably look more like Aaron Ashby, just because of how tough it's going to be for teams to pitch all these innings coming off 60 games last year. They're going to need, like, all hands on deck. And Aaron Ashby was very, very good in a tiny sample early. And I think as a pitcher, he's got a chance maybe to help if, you know, who knows what happens and they're short on arms and they're willing to start his clock and add him to the roster and get him going. That's the guy that I would think, if you want to look at a top 10 prospect who could play in 2021, I'd probably put Ashby ahead of Mitchell.
Let's talk some roster construction. And again, opening day is just one day. I get it. I get it. But with the outfield, you've got the 4 that are entrenched there. You know, I thought this could be a year for Tyrone Taylor. Unfortunately, I know he's been in the big leagues for 10 years, but he still has an option. Sounds like Derek Fisher's hurt, so they'll probably IL him and kick the decision down the road. But McKinney, you know, because he can play first, and then so Daniel Vogelbach doesn't really have a – like, where's if they keep him, where does he get at-bats?
Well, 2 different questions. So I had to do my latest roster guess yesterday, and, you know, certainly it's wrong. They're always wrong, because they always do something funky. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I've been doing 13 pitchers, 13 position players. And I think that's what they're going to need most of the year to get through the year. But they're going to fluctuate based on, you know, what segment of the schedule are they in, what is their availability of pitching, et cetera, et cetera. So they're going to move around. And I've been doing 13 and 13 in my guess, but that's not what it's going to be for opening day the more I think about it. Because – there's that off day baked in, which is baked into the MLB schedule all over the country. So, you know, in a normal world, it's because you don't want to lose that sellout on opening day. You don't want to lose the gate. So it gives you 2 days in case you have rain on opening day to play the game the next day. Well, that doesn't apply in Milwaukee, but it's still on the schedule. So I changed mine yesterday to go 14 position players, 12 pitchers on opening day. And that might be even not enough. They could really go 15 position players, 11 pitchers. You don't need 12 pitchers to get through opening day, but maybe you can do a bunch of pinch hitting and someone gets a big hit and wins the game for you, and then you adjust literally the next day. I think of G-Man Choi a couple of years ago, won the game in San Diego, and then I think got optioned out the next day, or at least there were moves the next day.
Yeah.
So in my latest, I've got Vogelbach on the team. I've got McKinney on the team. I've got only 12 pitchers, and then I, you know, some kind of decision the next day. And I guess to me it's like, if you want to keep somebody like McKinney or Vogelbach, you don't, you know, you're going to have to put them through waivers if you want to keep them, because neither of them has options. You know, to me, maybe you'd have a better chance on day 2 than prior to the regular season, just because teams have already kind of made their own calls and set their rosters. So I don't know if I'm totally overthinking that, but to me, that's the latest guess I have, is that I'm keeping both those guys. By the way, I have him keeping Jordan Zimmerman now, and this may be just a total overreaction to, like, two good appearances, but I'm thinking again about trying to get through this season. You're going to need tons of pitching, lots of arms, and a guy like Zimmerman, a non-roster guy, Brad Boxberger, I have him keeping both of those guys and then using their options on some of those other good pitchers, Rasmus and Topa. J.P. FireEyes, another cheeser, has been really good this spring. But they all have minor league options. So, look, opening day is a big deal. Everybody wants to be on an opening day roster. But, you know, again, like you said at the beginning, Bart, it's just one day. And if you're thinking about actually constructing a roster like David Stearns does, it kind of using those options that you have is probably part of the equation. And those other guys just have to wait a little bit, like Tyrone Taylor, to get up, because they certainly will play in the big leagues this year.
Well, yeah, the pitching staff's interesting, because those guys that do have options, I mean, they're enamored with Topa. They love Rasmussen. They love these guys. And you would think there's no way they, like, don't quote-unquote make the team. But if they're going to do, you know, if they're going to walk the walk and then talk the talk, they have options. And they if you give up on a guy like Jordan Zimmerman, you're giving up on how many innings throughout the season, you know, just because of the option thing. I agree with you. I think if they're the Brewers that I know, they are going to use the options when they can use the options.
Well, it's the difference between picking the best team. Like, do you pick the best players and put them on your opening day roster, or do you pick strategically and think of depth? And, you know, some people would say pick the best players. We're trying to win the World Series, man. But I think the way teams think of it, they always have to think about winning today and covering tomorrow and winning tomorrow. And organizational depth is a really boring concept that gets talked about a lot behind the closed doors. And it's really important to David Stearns as he builds out the team. And that's why I've got – but, you know, they have to be able to contribute. You have to have faith that they're going to, you know, do the job. You don't keep Jordan Zimmerman just to have a body. You have to be convinced that this work he's doing to kind of rejigger his arsenal, he's not a power pitcher anymore like he was. It's going to be more sinkers. It's just a different combo. It's got to be pinpoint control. And that's what they've been impressed in about in his last couple of outings after he kind of dropped. He was competing for the rotation. He was stretching out. He wasn't pitching well. They dropped him back down, kind of almost hit the reset button. And now he's kind of building back up again, and he's been better. So, you know, freeing a 40-man roster spot is another challenge that they would have to figure out to add him. But I think just in terms of could he help the big league club, right now he looks like a guy who could help the big league club in pitching in the middle of games and covering some innings as sort of a long guy.
And why I think it might be more likely is from a logistical perspective. You guys asked Craig the other day, and it sounds like so if you don't make the team but you're on AAA, you're going to eventually go to that alternate site, but not till the second week of April. So those yep. guys that don't make it are still going to be in Milwaukee until like the 12th.
Yeah, and it's again, you know, Miller Park comes to the rescue because
Adam.
I'm sorry. Yeah, God, Adam. I'm going to do that all year.
Adam.
American Family Field. Did my insurance rates just go up?
Although, don't you agree? Did I already bring this up with you? I don't know. David Stearns, one earlier this season, said, you know, Colton Wong hits very good at American Family Field. No. Colton Wong has never hit at American Family Field. He has hit at Miller Park. Right?
Well, here's my question. Someone needs to tell me. So if I'm writing a story about 2018 or something, and something I'm writing about a day that happened at the ballpark, what do I call it?
You call it Miller Park.
If I'm writing something historical and the stadium was named Miller
yes.
Park at that time, I call
yeah,
it
just
Miller
like,
Park.
Just like if you were writing about a woman who changes her name possibly after marriage. You know, my wife's name wasn't Winkler when she was 23 years old.
But what if I'm A.J. Cassavell, our great Padres writer, and I'm writing about a story about when Trent Clark was drafted by the Brewers? I don't call him Trent Clark. I call
yeah.
him Trent Grisham.
You are right. You are right on that. But what do we do? We do Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay?
Jeez, I don't know. I don't know what to
what
do.
What a mess!
Yeah, American Family Field. I will definitely, I have, another 10 days to get that burrowed into my brain.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, to the point, the Twins, for example, are going to have the same group of players. They're going to be at Target Field for those first couple of weeks. And there's going to be days where they can't get out on the field and do anything because they're going to be in the cages or underground because of the weather. So it's a great thing to have that dome at whatever the stadium is called because, you know, like we just said, I think there's the probability of early roster moves is very, very high. So keeping those players ready is going to be extremely important.
With the understanding, again, that, you know, it is just one day and one week, the rotation is still an interesting talking point, how it lines up. I know that, is it Freddie and Lindblom that have been pitching every day and they could piggyback off each other? And, you know, we assume Brett Anderson's in there. After Woody and Burns, what are we looking at?
Well, it's lined up right now. They haven't. I asked counsel again yesterday, is he willing to give us Hauser and Anderson for days 3 and 4? And he wasn't ready yet. But they're lined up as Woodruff, Burns, Hauser, who's a big player for the Brewers this year, Anderson, and then Lindblom and Peralta are pitching on the same day. So they look like they're going for that number 5. You know, but again, it's somewhat ceremonial because they're both going to start for the Brewers. I think there's going to be periods this year where they do go to 6 starters in order to give extra rest for guys because of this whole issue, again, of 60 games last year, 162 the next. Is Brandon Woodruff going to pitch 200 innings after 73 last year? I doubt it. So I think that, you know, is it like 2 weeks where it's Lindblom or Peralta, and then after that the other one joins the rotation? Could be. But right now they're trying to figure out which one sticks in the rotation. First, I'll tell you, Freddie Peralta has been better as a reliever in his major league sample, but he sure looks good right now the way he's throwing the ball. The slider has come along a lot, and if he can be those, you know, those different versions of his fastball, curveball, slider, that's a pretty good pitcher. So he's looking really good right now, and I almost would give him the edge right now over Lindblom to be the starter coming out of the gate, but I'm not exactly sure what they're thinking there.
Well, we'll find out. I hope to see you soon at American Family Field in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I look forward to that day.
Adam. Yeah, I think they are starting teams all over. I was sitting next to one of the Reds PR guys at that night game, and they had a Zoom with their group talking about logistics of the season. So I think teams are starting to try to make decisions about what it's going to look like, because last year there were severe limitations on the number of press in the press box. So I don't think, did I see you at the stadium last year?
I came there for a scrimmage.
Yeah, like one of the summer camps.
And then I was going to go to opening day, and then the Cardinals had COVID.
Okay.
But I'm planning on opening day.
Okay.
But I'm not wearing a suit.
I think teams are starting to figure out how they're going to accommodate how many they'll be allowed to, you know, all those questions that they figured out for fans in the stands, I think they're working on for, you know, press in the press box. So it would be great to see you again.
I'm not wearing a suit, though. I always copy you and wear a suit.
Why?
I only wear sweatpants now. But I bought, like, nice sweatpants.
like Lululemon, or what are we talking
about? No, my wife's down the Lululemon route. I don't know what mine are, but they're advertised as sweatpants you can wear in public without people automatically assuming that you are a failure of a man.
Wow, that's quite a marketing tagline.
Yeah.
That's the marketing. So, okay, well, you and your sweatpants, I look forward to seeing.
Is there a dress code? Can I not? I've seen people wear it worse. I'm just saying that.
There is a dress code, actually. Yeah. About, I think maybe 5 years ago, they actually instituted a dress code in MLB, and I never quite was able to figure out what happened where that they had to put down on paper. that you have to dress, you know, reasonably professionally.
One guy came so sloppy.
Yeah, I wonder who the poor slob was who did that. But they actually did put down a dress code on paper a couple of years ago, yeah.
All right, well, I do have a pair of jeans that wear like sweatpants, so maybe I'll throw those on.
Okay, so... okay. But, well, I'll work on you. We have a couple of weeks, Bart. I'm going to try to get you to suit up for that.
Okay, we'll see. The problem, Adam, I don't think it fits.
Oh.
Yeah, pandemic got me in that area.
Okay, we don't want to do that. We don't want to have any split pants because that's probably in the dress code, that if your pants split, you have to leave.
Yeah, like one time I didn't see you for a while and you had a beard, and I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
That's a big change. You're going to look at me and be like, whoa.
You're round now.
you have morphed into a pear with legs and a head.
Well, you know what, Bart? It'll help you get that COVID vaccine, so... There's always.
Yeah, I'm getting my shot tomorrow.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
As a fatty. I'm going as a fatty.
Hey, there's always a positive. You know what? That's what we need to do after the last year is figure out what's positive.
You're right. Yeah, I didn't gain all this weight for nothing. Come on.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good buddy. Real good buddy. MLB.com, Brewers.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Great Midwest Bank can help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at GreatMidwestBank.com.